We are ready now. Saffron Planet returns after 2 years hibernation. We've got three new people and one very ancient. Yeah, that's Howard and me and Monica as usual. We've got Mike and Kate Keane and Adam. Okay. We last time we met, which was exactly 2 years ago, is when we had provisionally booked a conference. And we didn't really know what we were going to do.
Was that only 2 years ago?
That was 2 years ago, and that's when we actually...
I've aged 5 years,
I think. Yeah, you have, yes, yeah, certainly. And that's plain for anyone to see. But,
he'll pay for that.
I know.
Push that.
And that's no joke. No, I will pay for it. And we actually, the last session, if you remember, was when we actually figured out what we were going to do. Remember that one? And we had about six or seven people here, and most of them actually turned up at Foundations One, and most of them haven't come back since, including you.
So, awkward times. Okay. Set them up now.
All right, okay. So, but we've moved on. We've now done our fourth conference, Foundations Four, and everyone here except Howard has been there, and I thought we'll just have a few words to say about. Initial reactions, what we got out of it, what we've heard from other people, and was it worthwhile doing? So, was it worthwhile doing?
What, the last one?
Or yeah,
the one
Foundations 4.
Definitely.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah.
Yep.
Anyone else?
We learn from each one that we've done, because there will be a lot of people that came to the first one that have come back each time.
Yeah.
Maybe to all of them, or three out of four.
Yeah.
And
we actually had some.
They wouldn't be coming back if we weren't doing something right.
There's a few people that came to the first, and then skipped a couple, and then came back to the fourth. There's some that, it seems it always works out about 50% of people at every conference have been before. So I've just done a list of all the people, and we've had 267 people have been processed by the foundations, meat grinder. Processed. Have come out of the, I don't know how they've come out the other end. Good or bad, who knows. But but I say we've got one real newbie here who's only been to one conference, that's Adam. And Mike and Kate have been to
two, three and four. Dishcloth discounters at number two.
Oh, right, that was all expensive.
You've got to be careful when you say those words, because some people might listen and it might send a shiver down their spine just remembering
the
experience.
Dishcloth, I think, would be a better word, really.
Well, everything that was been the experimentation, and the fact that wasn't continued shows that perhaps that didn't really work out.
Each one's been very different, I think. There's different... Mm. I mean... Foundations 2, which was our first one, what we loved about it was the ministries, all those ministries that were in that hall, not far from the main hall. And to us, a lot of these people we'd not really even heard of.
No.
And we've got so much, most of them were on their emailing lists and that. And it's just been a real wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, it's good
because... rather than just seeing magazines or websites, there's so many things out there too.
And they were mixing, you could able to speak to them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the great thing. You could actually talk to people, engage with people.
And we had the panel discussions with Jacob Vince doing the chairing, and that, I think they went quite well.
They were really good,
And but I think the other thing that I found was really good was how the ministries at that point, that they could meet each other and talk. And it's great because the people at the top of the ministries don't often get to meet the others. They're in their own... sort of busyness of their own sort of ministry bubble. So it's really good to meet and encourage one another as well, isn't it?
But, I mean, that was probably the good thing that Foundations 2. The bad thing was that the programme I set was a little bit strenuous. There was a half an hour's rest in 5 days.
That's enough.
Not enough for you, that's all. But I think we learned from that. I think for me it was like... it's still a sense of something new, and we wanted to throw so many features in just to attract people and give them a good time. Sort of went a little bit over the top, I think.
But I think people have said that from having never done conferences before, from starting from zero, you it's a steep learning curve, isn't it? And each time you learn and add and take away.
So that was two. Then
that was great.
A year ago, So just under a year ago, we had number three, which is the weekend one. And by that time, Mike and Kate were sucked in a little bit stronger into the the foundation.
The vortex.
The vortex. Yeah. Mike became my number two at that time. And
no, he was my number two.
No, it was mine.
No, he was mine.
I'm everybody's number two.
Oh, sure.
I'm Kate's number two.
In some circles, being called a number two isn't necessarily a good thing. They like being a number two. It's a euphemism. Yeah.
But,
it's
probably too close to the truth. But,
No, don't you remember? He was setting out the chairs, putting the posters up. Yeah. You know, we started him at the high end. You know, putting up the posters, and then
Kate, high end.
Yeah,
yeah.
Poster boy.
It was downhill from there.
It was
a chair
on top of a table. That's what it was. Like, you know.
Yeah, let's not talk about
health and safety.
Health and safety. Yeah, that was just a weekend thing, and that was.
The way, the truth, and the life, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just my stuff. And we decided that, you know, it was quite, in many ways, it's quite negative. There's a lot of negative stuff there. And I just felt that we needed to make, you know, get all that stuff out and then put an end to it to say, you know, this is basically what we stand for, the Greek versus the Hebrew. Mm. We made sure that everyone really got it. And then we decided at the end of Foundations 3, that would be the end of that. And we'll now move on into new, fresh, exciting areas where we come to Foundations 4.
Yeah. But also give a workshop to actually explain that basic.
Yeah,
it's very foundational.
Yeah. And I think there's no harm. I think we should remind ourselves because we, you know, we're so steeped in the Greek way of doing things. Yeah. I think it's not just about, oh yeah, I know that, but it's about, you know, looking at ourselves. Mm. You know, challenging ourselves and it being a part of growing in God and, you know,
but we're
seeing his ways.
More and more that it is actually at the root of a lot of things, isn't it? It's very, I keep using the word foundational, but it is, if you get that, if you get to grips with that, it actually does make other things make a lot of sense.
Yeah, which is why, you know, it was stressed, you know, so we went through three conferences where it was pushed and pushed and pushed. And at the end, we got some of our old timers who've been to all three saying, we'll come to the next one, but please, no more Greek stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to make a promise. So in Foundations 4, I just had it as an optional one as a seminar, just for those who didn't do it on the first three. And we'll always do that. So we'll always, you know, have a top up for people.
Yeah.
So Foundations 4, we had a newcomer. Adam came along to that one to help Phil. So what was your first impression?
Yeah, well, I really enjoyed the conference. I mean, I actually, to be honest, only kind of discovered it by accident because, I work with your son Phil at a Christian radio station, and
nameless,
we just got onto the subject of I was just asking his views about creation Israel. We just generally in a general sense, talking about it, and. He said, my dad's wrote a book about it. You'd be a good person to read it, you know. And then, you know, he gave me some books, and then obviously I met you, and you let me know about this conference. And to be honest, it was a great surprise to me because I had no idea that anything like this was happening in the UK. I mean, even though I'd been raised from a Christian background, the first church I came to after I became born again, which was about 5 years ago now, was an Anglican church. And even though they preached the gospel there, they didn't really deal with a lot of these issues, which, you know, I find kind of frustrating because as I was reading the Bible more, I kind of thought, you know, it seemed very clear to me that these things are very important to God's heart and foundational issues, whereas a lot of the church sees them as quite peripheral or even non-issues in some cases, which is really unfortunate. You know, coming to the conference, you know, it was a real eye-opener. I mean, it was fantastic. You know, I enjoyed so many of the talks. I had no idea of some of the issues that were raised, they were going on, you know, especially concerning Israel. I think one of the talks, forgive me, I can't remember his name, but I think it was Mike, who talked about Green Belt and
Fire.
That was really eye-opening for me.
Greenbelt, very good.
Yeah, no, that was fantastic because Mike Fryer took a whole load of people to Greenbelt to actually stand outside the gates and tell everyone how anti-Israel Greenbelt is. And Right. And he came back to talk to us about it. And it was really good that people were out there.
And what reactions did he get?
Well, the organisers were very reluctant even to speak to him. I think he got to speak to one of them, but he didn't really get very far. Yeah. He could just sense that they were on a different planet, you know. As an advert for him, he did suggest that next year they're actually, him and his congregation up in North Wales are going to have an alternative Greenbelt. They want to do a summer festival at the same time as Greenbelt, but for those, you know, a foundation type people who just want a family holiday, that will be a positive biblical message. You know?
Good.
I tell you what, I mean, perhaps on another time I'll talk about his church. His church is absolutely fantastic. You know,
really? Whereabouts is it?
In North Wales. I went there to speak 2 weeks ago, and it's just amazing. Oh. In
Mould.
Queensferry was the actual area. But talk about that another time, because we don't want him to, you know, don't want to give him too much of an advert, because it's supposed to be an advert for what we're doing.
but we touched upon, you know, having different speakers, Adam, and I think that was really...
That was a new thing.
A great thing to have, a good variety of
we
speakers.
We had about 12 speakers, and the big thing was, and you and Phil were involved with this, that no one was allowed to speak more than 45 minutes, and it's like the big number five. They had a big number five when it went up when there's 5 minutes to go.
Right.
And,
right.
And I think they all, I mean, no one overspoke.
Overspoke. Jimmy spokes on his bicycle.
Yeah. Tis well you weren't there, isn't it? Anyway, that was. I think the positive thing about this one is that there was a variety, I think, was the main thing that people got from it.
A lot of people signed up for Peter Smith's blog, which I've been reading and keeping
The man who mustn't be mentioned. Because we weren't allowed to tape him.
Oh, right.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
It was about the UN.
One of the big differences with Foundations 4 was almost everything except the workshops, though some of the workshops were in the main hall. Yeah. Everything was in the one area, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There wasn't this having to go off into different areas.
Yeah.
And so most things happened in the hall, didn't they?
Yeah.
Probably more a sense of togetherness and interactive.
Right, and that brings us to the islands.
Oh, no.
Mike's dying to talk about the islands. This is our new innovation, you think? The islands. It's a way, we just felt, the problem is with the Greek model, let's say, of conferences and sermons is that someone gets on the pulpit and talks, and then at the end, you know, people write notes and then they go away at the end and then they have their cup of tea, and then that might be the end of it normally. But we thought that straight after they've talked, we had the small group system. Instead of having people going off into their small groups, people didn't realize it, but they were already sitting in their small groups because Mike and I had arranged all the seating into islands. Rather than pews, there was like a little islands of eight chairs.
Eight to ten chairs.
With gaps between them.
Right.
And within each island were one or two leaders who were strategically placed already that people didn't know about. So after I gave my first talk, I said, right, just turn round, you're in a group already. And so because I've just finished the talk, it was still in their mind, they could go straight into it.
Right.
And the only negative thing was we discovered quite a high
ambient noise, wasn't there?
Yeah, with the noise, with the few people hard of hearing,
right?
And there was perhaps you should have been there with your audio experience, because the hall had acoustic problems, and it didn't have in March. I don't know. March was okay, but this one, there's something went wrong. I don't know what it was, because Phil had the same settings on everything, but it was muffled. Yeah, everything was recorded okay, but for people to hear, I shouldn't really be talking about the negative thing. Just to say, this will be figured out for the next one, and we're going to have a loop system for hard of hearing anyway. So it's just an interesting thing. Everything's exactly the same.
Oh, had you done that before, the island thing?
Yeah, but people were more or less sitting more or less in the same area, just that it was arranged slightly differently, but the loudspeakers were in the same place, the microphone system was the same. But anyway, Yeah, let's move back to the positives.
No, okay, what am I wearing this out? Come on.
Got to thrash this one. So I think everything, we had a lot of good reactions, and Adam went around and took filming people's for their reactions, and yeah. There'll be a short demo out soon. Or something. He's going to mix it today.
I'm going to work on a rough cut today, and then we should have a promo out, hopefully. Yeah, quite soon.
Because the next one's in June, Foundations 5. Interesting story behind that one. To do at the centre of this story is my grandson, Phil's son, or in fact Phil's wife Ruth, because we'd already booked Foundations 5 from the middle of May, and then Ruth says to me, "You can't do it then because it's his birthday." Right. Grandson's birthday, so the whole of the conference had to be postponed because of his birthday. But it turns out that I'd already decided, I believe, that we wanted to cover the Word and the Spirit in the next one, you know, the Bible and the Holy Spirit together in some sort of cohesive way. So we phoned up Quinta and said, "What other date have you got?" And he says that the best date we have is June the 2nd to the 6th or the 5th. And I said, "Okay, we'll book that." And then when we looked at it on the diary, the festival of Shavuot, or Pentecost, was right in the middle of that week, which is the festival of the Word and the Spirit. Right. See, the two went together. So for us, it's important to know that God is behind what we're doing. Otherwise, we're just like a lot of ministries and just doing things in our own strength, which is easy to do because we tend to make our own programs and, you know, just go ahead and do our own stuff and then say, well, God will bless it once we've done it. But I don't think he tends to work that way. Sometimes we need to have God involved at the beginning, otherwise we could be wasting our time. And that sort of brings me to the ministry as a whole, really, Foundations, in that, you know, we think, you know, that God has been involved, you know, every now and again, perhaps even at the beginning. And we've had this constant theme of the rainbow keeps cropping up in our walk with Foundations. It started off Foundations 2, and I remember just before the first talk, I was actually quite anxious about it, and the weather wasn't very good, and I was walking to the hall and for the first talk, and just as I arrived at the hall, there was a rainbow coming out of the hall. Right. And we used that as our logo. We used it as a logo. It's on. The second one was with Mike and Kate. Was it a few weeks ago? We were driving up to Scotland, up on the M6, and suddenly a rainbow appeared before us. But it wasn't one of these miles in the distance. It was right next to us, and we could see the beginning and the end of it.
Saw both ends.
Both ends in the bushes.
We never experienced that.
Oh, and it was a local rainbow, and we just drove right through it, didn't we? It's just amazing. You know, and that was like us going up to Scotland. And then the third one that I experienced is outside Mike Fryer's place, just about to go in there and, you know, just turn around and there's a rainbow right in front of me. You know, I just think, because God, you know, that was probably the first sign that God gave it to mankind, you know, at the time of Noah, to say there won't be another flood. So I think we can say that it is a sign from God. Some people could look at it more naturalistically and just say it's a spectrum of colours.
We saw it in our wardrobe the other day.
Yeah, what's that?
Yeah.
A what? A rainbow.
On our wardrobe, yeah.
Uh-huh. On your wardrobe.
It's coming through the window.
We still try and work out the significance of that.
The fact it was a wardrobe, was that important? Was it? Was Narnia involved in this at all?
I don't know. Joseph's coat inside the wardrobe.
Many colours. Yeah, could have been that. But so anyway, we just feel that, you know, if God is not in this, then there's no point us doing it. Mm. And so we do need constant reminders sometimes. And even be prepared, as we were a year ago, about 6 months ago, to jack the whole thing in. So, forget it, you know. And then that's when you two arrived. Or just came out of nowhere. Right. Knights in shining armour.
Came out through the centre of a rainbow.
Yeah, that's it.
That's right.
Yeah, through that out there. Well, anyway. So, so that's Foundations. And Foundations 5 will be June the 2nd. I do believe someone's arrived. Is that Louis? Remember Louis? Those who've been with us right from the start will remember young Louis, I mean, it's now not so young Louis.
That's right, yes. Older Louis.
And it's the late Louis. I don't know, he's come late. And he'll be in the next session, I imagine, once he's had his cup of tea. But
no, he will not have a cup of tea. He's never in his life had a cup of tea or a cup of coffee.
Ah, okay. What's he? What's
just like to put you straight on that.
All right.
Okay. He's never, ever had a cup of tea or a cup of coffee.
How does he live?
Pardon?
Well, just on water and beer.
Water or juice.
Or juice. Strange boy.
Yeah. He is. I'm quite apart from that.
Should we talk about Lou before you arrive?
Okay. Yeah. He might come and join us.
Oh, okay. Right. That'd be nice. So anyway, so that's anything else you want to bring up about foundations 4, 5, 6?
Well, let me see now. I've missed a few minutes. So I'm not quite sure what you've been talking about in the last 5 minutes.
I'm sure we will be delighted to hear what you have to say.
No, some of us, like, just summing up about, you know, what Foundations 4 was about. It was friendships as well, people getting together. There was some great groups sharing and praying together. Yeah. I think it was a relational conference as well.
Because on our forms from Foundation 2 onwards, it was always the top of the list was meeting like-minded people. And our problem is, we love like-minded people coming, but we also want people like Adam, let's say, who's coming from the outside, who hasn't started off as a like-minded person because he doesn't know what our minds are. And we need people to be brought in, who need to know this stuff.
Now, if people haven't been to the Foundations conferences at all, they can listen to some of the sessions still, can't they? On websites?
Yeah.
So
If you go to keshaweb.com, we can have a link to the audio page. Kesha Webb.
Yeah, what? But is that...
K-E-S-H-E-R.
Kesha Webb. K for... Kate.
Anything to do with Wonga. Kesha Webb.
Oh, not Kesha.
No.
KeshaWebbNow.com. Yeah. Right. Okay. The Archbishop doesn't like her, so I doubt if he likes us either.
Who, the Archbishop?
The Archbishop.
No.
I very much doubt if anyone in the organised church...
yes, it was Wonga, wasn't it? Yes.
Yeah, he was anti-Wonga.
And then found out he was...
He was investing
and the
in it.
The, so people can listen to all the talks, especially the last one
and
as well.
How's
all
it spelled?
KESHERWEB.
Great.
.com.
That's all I wanted to know.
Okay. But as we are, actually, if they're hearing this, then they've probably been there already. But I was going to say, and we're going to be relaunching saffronplanet.net, which is what we are now. And the fact that they're hearing this probably means they've already gone to saffronplanet.net.
And
I'm not spelling that.
And we're going to be sort of thinking about the next conference, which is going to be in May. Sorry, have you already said that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've had the story. We've had the story of the May and the June and the word and the spirit.
Okay.
It's going to be very exciting. We're not going to plan it until the new year, but we just think the word and the spirit tends to be separated. And it would be good somehow that we were brought together in a conference in a very natural way.
Yeah.
What?
And also, we like to involve people as much as possible.
Yeah.
If people play musical instruments.
Oh, yeah.
Bring talents. If they play them well, we have a fantastic shofar blower in Bianca.
Oh yes.
And we had a fantastic time when we celebrated Friday morning. That was great, wasn't it? With Kate and Sheila and Christina.
The travelling musicians.
That was fantastic.
That was really brilliant.
Yeah. And, you know, we've got some very talented people out there. We've got people that write poetry as well.
Give us a poem.
We've actually got one called Islands in the Sun.
We
have the poet here.
You don't want me to read this?
It out to us. This is so like Foundation.
Yeah, only makes sense for those who've been to the last conference.
It will make sense
to
everybody.
It's called Islands in the Sun, spelled S-O-N, obviously. Sound the shofar, call out the troops. Steve has spoken. It's time for small groups. Circle the wagons, turn round your chair, your views and experience as one who is there. The chattering classes no longer in rows, no backs of heads, toes facing toes. Friendships are forming, like minds agree. Birds of a feather, that's you and me.
So moving.
Oh, there you go.
Howard's a poet as well.
I know.
But he probably can't remember any of it.
Oh, God.
You've written the whole book, haven't you?
Yes.
He's written the book and he can't remember any of his poems.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Unprintable.
Presses wouldn't work. We're not printing this rubbish.
Anyway, I think we've probably covered the subject of foundations. We will come back to it at a future date when we have more information, but that's due for now, isn't it? So goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
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 Goodbye. Tubby custard, tubby custard.
My mum won't listen to
this. Hello, mum.
Hello, mum.
Hello, mum.